Let's see. Oh, yeah, we got power now. Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. That was Aaron Thomas just stepping. You guys can get that number. He got a, well, that's off of his CD, one of his major hits. Yeah. It's I used to play him at home all the time. I've been had him in my office for a while. And I like kind of music sometimes, you know. So he can kick it when he get ready. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a pleasure to be here on this Sunday. I don't want to be in Louisiana. I tell you what, the rain is coming. We feel a little bit of it up here. Hopefully they'll be safe down there and don't get flooded out. And we have to make room for them again. I understand a lot of them didn't go back. I can see why. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to make our guests welcome today and extend a special offering to you. Come back next Sunday. Amen. Did I promise anybody Piccadilly last week? Okay, I didn't know, Kitty. I was trying to think that I promised anybody. You don't think I did? Okay. I did. The week before. You're right. You came the week before. That's why you look like Piccadilly. And I told you if you... He put me in remembrance of my word. It was the week before. You're right. I did tell you if you come back. You know, Piccadilly will be it. Couldn't make it last Sunday. You missed it. We had a good time last Sunday. Yeah, so. Yeah, okay. You here today for Piccadilly this evening. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I got, before I pray, well, let me go and pray first and get started. And I want you to be thinking. I told you last week we was going to take your testimony this week of your faith action. And we're asking everyone to believe for something small. From a penny on up, Chad. From a penny on up, we want you to work your own faith. Well, Father, we thank you for this time as we come together. We thank you for the anointing of God. We receive it. We thank you that every person here have ears to hear, hearts to receive. We thank you, Father God, for the Holy Spirit that you have given to us, and he is certainly welcome in this place. We thank you, Father God, that signs and wonders follow the word. We thank you, Father God, that they are welcome in this place. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay. Now, what I usually do, whoever gives the testimony, we put you on the tape. So if you see yourself on TV, remember, Pastor Robinson gave you a chance. You know, a lot of people like to sing when they get on TV, Barbara, you know. Am I on yet? They have a surprise. But anyone got anything this Sunday? Everybody using their faith, I see. Oh, look, hey, I got something. Okay, Dr. Odie. Is this a working doctor? Okay. Uh-oh, that's Glover. She got something. Oh, my. We're in the same row, so we'll be together. Be anointed together, good.
Yeah, so this vacation that Lori and I were on, because of the numerous places we were going to, we flew into Bozeman, mm-hmm. and my nephew, my older brother's son, lives in Bozeman, and so we were letting him know that we were coming up that way, and he says, well, hey, you know, just plan on staying with us for the first couple days when you're here. So we got two nights at his place. We went up to Glacier National Park and spent a couple days up there, and then we came back down through Great Falls, have a client that lives in Great Falls that said, hey, you come on down, and we'll take Graham out and show him how my shooting range works, and we'll show you my place out in the mountains, and we'll let you spend the night with us. And then we go down to this other client's near Yellowstone National Park, and we were asking them, you know, where should we stay around the park there? And they said, why don't you stay with us? So we had five nights of non-hotels, oh, which man, probably run you a couple that, hundred dollars a night.
Yeah.
Just by, you know, you reaching out to people, said, hey, we're going to be in your neck of the woods and love to see you. And so God just blessed us with that.
That's wonderful. You saved a bundle, hell. You didn't just save a small bit. that hotel to eat your lunch. Okay, my brother. Good to have you back.
I'm kind of shy, so y'all excuse me. But,
that's okay.
My testimony is the will to live. When I was 16, I was diagnosed with a disorder, a swallowing disorder. It's called achalasia. That's most people, when they get older, they develop this. But basically what I'm saying, the will to live. Like, I was out there on drugs and stuff. I couldn't swallow anything. The doctors didn't know what was going on. But when they finally found out what was going on, you know, they did the, before they did the surgery, I went through a lot of stuff. They drew blood work and stuff. My blood glucose level was like a 32, and I was on drugs and doing all type of stuff. But what I'm saying is, if your body can be physically dead, but if your soul want to live, you can live. If you believe in God, you're going to live.
Amen.
And that's the truth. I couldn't sit here and lie. You know, I just anyone here sick, going through anything, just trust God and believe in God. He'll get you through.
Amen. 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 Thank you, my brother. Amen. Oh, my. Just, I want you to be on the film, though, Jetty. So if you be on TV.
Amen. My brother went to the doctor, and the doctor told him that he had a mass the size of a golf ball last month. Mm-hmm. And so he called me and said, what should I do besides prayer? And I said, if you don't feed it, it can't live. I said, stop your sugars and so forth and so on. I gave him a protocol. About 6 days later, he called me, and he said, my bathroom water is red. And I started laughing. Mm. And he wanted to know, you know, why are you laughing? I said, God has done surgery on you. And so he said, well, keep on praying. I said, I'm doing that. I said, but God has done surgery. And so he said, it really wasn't like a bowel movement. And then I laughed again. I said, God has already completed the surgery. And he was supposed to have go for the biopsy the 2nd of July. And I said, let them give you an MRI and a CAT scan before they do the biopsy. But praise the Lord, he didn't tell them, but they just decided to give him the MRI and the CAT scan before the biopsy. I praise the Lord that when they did the MRI and the CAT scan, they found no trace of any mass in his body. So that's just one of the many testimonies that I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Thomas. Dr. Thomas, you got to share some of those. Dr. Thomas fixed him a potion. No. Amen. That's good, Dr. Thomas. And we discussed having you do a class in our church. We didn't tell you about it yet. It's just on the table still. You know, we ain't took it off the table yet to present it to you. But we're going to have the ladies to do, you know, some meetings. And your name was just in there, you know, to meet with them. Dr. Thomas, she had a good testimony herself about how the Lord healed her body just by eating right and taking the right, you know, supplements. So she works with that. And she, you know, she's been a great help to a lot of Christians as far as, you know, things they thought were serious. She put them on some common things, just like water and a pill, a bowel movement pill or something, and just level everything out. You know, when you think it's something serious, she just, no, that's not that, it's this. You know, so she good at what she does. The Lord blesses her, and she's anointed to help people. Amen. 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 So she does minister to people. Anyone else have a good testimony to share? That's a good testimony, Sister Thomas. I said, you know, this is what God has really used her to do, help people like that. Anybody else? Okay, I just want to. Pastor Thomas. Yes, sir. Dr. Grady Thomas. All right.
I came. This is about 2 to 3 weeks old, and I was having a problem in my leg.
Amen.
And it was terrible. So I came up to at the end of the service and told Pastor about my leg, and I showed him it. condition, because you could see it in my leg. Anyway, to make a long story short, he prayed for me, and he said, and he laid hands on me. He said, they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Mm. Well, I'm standing here with no pains in my leg.
Oh, great. Oh, great.
Praise
God. Oh, great.
God did a quick work, and I appreciate being able to come to a place where God could do the work.
Amen. 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 That's good, Dr. Thomas. After I prayed for you, you know, I got home, and the Lord brought it back to me again. I was in my prayer time. So I just began to praise and worship God for you the complete work. When I was having my prayer that morning, you and somebody else came to my thinking while I was praying to just continue to hold fast with you, you know. Because a lot of times when you pray for people, you can easily, you know, separate yourself from the prayer. But I like to stay with it, you know, till I hear the good report. And that is a good report. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's get started so we can get smart here and we learn how to keep stepping and some things we're stepping in. So that's what we was playing this morning, stepping. That was the name of that tune, stepping. We've been talking about discipleship and preparing ourselves to be disciples and what it takes to move in the area of discipleship. And as we began to prepare ourselves to be disciples, we found out something. We found out that it takes a total commitment if you're going to be a disciple. And when we found out that you can't treat discipleship like a diet. You know what I mean? You know what happens when you're going to diet, right? It works till you get off. When you get off, you go right back with interest. You know, you get everything back and a little more. But discipleship, you change your whole lifestyle. You see, you want to change over and be the way the Spirit of the Lord leading you to be. So in changing lifestyles, that means that decisions of quality has to be made. I'm not going to return from where I am. And so when you make these kind of changes, it's like reproducing yourself, or let's say like a renewed mind, to the Word of God. You're reproducing yourself to the Word, you see. And as you reproduce yourself to the Word of God by a continual study of the Word, which brings us to our foundational scripture, was in John 8, 31 and 32. If you can put it up on the board, Mark, which is our foundational scripture, which tells us that if it's any results to be had, it's all found in the Word of God. See? Jesus was talking to believing Jews when he told them that. He said, you have to continue in the Word to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, my question is, if I'm going to continue, how will I know that I'm free? It's amazing how, you know, you continue to go over and over a thing, but you don't know. But everybody should say, when I get my results, I know. See? If the Word of God will make you free and it's healing you believing for, you know you're free when you get the healing manifested in your body. Now, what, as believers, we have done, we have believed God, true enough, for 2 days, 3 days, 1 week, and we just kind of get off it. We go to feeling well, you see. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's saying to us that you should take the Word, everything you got on healing, everything you got, you know, just pull it all out and put it in front of you. If I'm going to be a disciple, put it in front of me. 1 Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:17, Isaiah 53:4, just take it. And you take 3 and 2. Get every scripture out on healing and put it before you. And say this, Lord, you say, if I continue in your word, I'll know the truth, and the truth will make me free. And begin to go over and over and over. Don't stop till you get the manifestation. See? I'm going to stay with it. I'm going to stay with everyone till I get what I'm looking for. I'm looking for this word to set me free from sickness and diseases, because the word declares it so. Now, that process is not hard, but it's just that people won't pick it up in the spiritual realm like they do in the natural. See, in the natural realm, people will pick up things and stay with it. But in the spiritual realm, people won't. For one thing is, we're so used to doing natural things, natural ways. So, and plus the fact that we're in a speed-up world, so everything we do, we look for it to be fast. Let's go over so-and-so house. How long would it take us to get there? or how long we're going to stay? Everybody, time conscious. But when you're talking about a way of life in the way that the Word of God is telling us to live, it takes a total commitment. It takes pulling away from everything else. It takes saying to yourself, saying, I'm committed now. I'm intending to walk it out the way that the Word of God is telling me to walk it out. That's what I'm intending to do. I'm committed to it. Now, what are we talking about now? I'm actually just recapping some of the things that we talked about while you guys was gone and was out of town. I found out that it's just better to go back, start back, and go. And I was thinking about it this morning. Lord, I keep going, back, and then, came to my mind, don't you? Keith Moore. So you ain't driving a slower boat as Keith. I was following Keith Moore one time. I bet you 3 months he was on the same. Well, not quite 3 months, but right at it. It wasn't long on the subject he was talking about. And I kept thinking, he used to teach healing school at Brother Hagin's ministry. And he talked about how long he stayed in the Word, how long he practiced the Word before ever he went to preach. Now, he preached a long time now. I mean, he might stay on one line 15 minutes, and go back over. But what Keith is doing, he's a Mississippi boy too. I'm from Mississippi. What Keith is doing, he's trying to put the word in where you will understand it. So he continually drives it slow because he knows that spiritual things are not caught easily. Sometimes it takes the Spirit of God to open it up to you after you hear it over and over and over again. It takes the Spirit of God to tell you, now what this means is that you stay in it, you get the results, but you're not staying. And you just stop and think, I'm not. Because you're so natural minded, you're so used to doing things a certain way and just being done with it. Till it never dawned on you that I'm doing spiritual things the same way I'm doing natural things. And I'm not getting results out of it. But that's so we're after results. If you're going to be a disciple, it's a lifetime run. You don't never stop being a disciple because of the lifestyle that you went to. And now you pick it up, and then we want to do what the Bible says in Matthew 28:20. We want to go teach it to others. Now, that would be the great commandment. The great commission. That would be the great commission to go and preach it to everybody. But you can't preach it if you don't have it. You see what I'm saying to you? That's why we going through and through with what we go through till you get it. Once you get it, you can go and make disciples. You can make disciples because you've been made yourself. And if you've been made yourself, you can be like Paul talking to Timothy. You're talking about the stuff that he taught him and what to go and do and what not to do. And remember this. You see, he actually was bringing him up to do the same work that he was doing, but he had walked with him, had been with him all this time and traveled. And now that he's pastoring a church, he's continually teaching, continue to go. So you don't never quit, see? You know Paul didn't quit, didn't he? He said he was reaching for the mark of the high calling. He said, I want to know him in the fullness of his resurrection. You see? That's the way he, so he, the drive was always there to keep on going. It's the same thing with us. It surprises me how we can become complacent. We can come to church every week, sometimes twice a week, and never reach out at all. And God has commanded us to reach out. It's certain things that we know that God has commanded us to do that we are not doing. We're not doing. So, in stepping out to be a disciple, it's a lifetime run. We're going to have to stay on it. And once we make the decision, and said, Lord, I don't care what it takes. I've committed to be a disciple, not a convert. Because if I'm just a convert, that means I'm not doing anything. I'm just converted. I'm waiting on heaven. And he said, we can get our heaven right here where we are. See, he said he's willing to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think when we get to heaven. No, he wants to do it right now. He wants us to progress right now. He wants good reports from us right now. If you a Christian, you should bear some fruit to it. And one of the fruits that we should bear, we should be prosperous people. Prosperity should be overtaking us. Because it's just not many people who belong to the church are not givers. And that's the doorway into prosperity. Jesus said it. He said it. He said, if you give, it'll be given back to you. You know, but we heard that, but we don't know how to put it to play. And all we can do is repeat it. You know, Jesus said, it'll be given back to me. I was talking to a guy about this same subject one time. He said, well, I just want mine to keep going. I said, what a dummy. It ain't in the Bible nowhere. Give and let it keep going. Amen. No, Jesus said, give it to be given back to you. See, it's everything that Jesus said is the absolute truth. So here's another truth. I don't know that we discussed this truth or not. Yeah, we did. We did. But I'm finishing up on this segment that we're going somewhere else. Another truth of it is the word of God. Remember this, that is the seed. So many people mess that up. Remember that. And I went over that twice, I think, when we was talking about it. Remember that what Jesus is doing with the seed is giving us the important key to the whole Bible. One of the most important keys there. One of them. You see, that's in Mark 4th chapter. And he began to talk about that. But that particular day, I think Andrew said he taught 13 parables that day. 13 parables. He said, but you have to go through all four of the Gospels to put it together. On the day that he taught on the seed, he taught 13 parables. And most of them was about the kingdom of God. And he said, talking about the parable of the sower, he was saying, when you sow in the seed, you're actually sowing, which you all know, I've told you, you're sowing the word of God. But the seed principle that he talked about, using the analogy of the word of God, can't be cheated. See, it can't be cheated. See, if God had to fix it another way, it could be cheated. You know what I'm saying to you? If it had, like, say, for instance, been education. You know, you could copy off somebody. You know, you can just, you know, practice it for the day. And when you're through with it, you're through with it. Don't even remember it anymore. But the seed principle, according to Genesis, the first chapter, I think around the 12th verse, when he went down, he's saying, everything God created, he made it to bear seed. See, he made it to bear seed of itself. See, so he fixed it that way because you can't now, since it bears seed of itself, that means it reproduces itself. See, it keeps reproducing itself. God fixed it that way in order for the earth to be replenished all the time. Did you know if we didn't have it that way, we could run out just like that? I mean, we just run out of everything. No more seed for it, because it won't. If you get one, you got a seed. Whatever it is that you believe in God for, that He planted, it's everything is to the seed. So that's why Jesus was using that analogy, saying that it was the key. Everything is to the word. See, so when He said a seed, He's saying you sowing the seed, you sowing the word of God. So since the word of God worked like it does, you can see why we are talking about now continuing in the word. You see, if the word of God said healing belonged to you, those words have produced after themselves. If I could put that in me to the degree that I need it, it'll produce after itself. It'll give me what I want. But you see, I don't know that to the degree that I do it. See, I know it, but not to that degree. I'll do it so long and I'll quit. You see, it all hinges on me now. See, I can't cheat myself. I already got the principle to it. Everything I need is in that seed, and that seed don't grow nowhere but in me. See, once I put that seed in me for whatever I need, if I treat the seed right and I do my job, the seed can't do anything but come to pass. That's why Jesus said it like He did. He said, it'll come to pass in your life. Don't quit. See, I tell you guys, make a song out of it. Just sing it to yourself. Whatever it is. Let me put some music to it here. I had to hear this. I got to get this on the inside of me. I got to get it to the place that every time I put it to work, I got it. And I'm going to tell you something. When you put it to work and you got it, you won't never forget it. Those scriptures that you use, you won't never forget those scriptures. Because every time you tell it, you say, no, I know that. My dog ought to know it. I've been going through the house singing it enough. Everybody in the house ought to know, because I stay with it till I got it, you see. So a lot of times when you give testimony, you find that people that stay with the word, they'll tell you, well, I stayed with the word. Now, quite naturally, you know, Jesus said what when He told us about that? The devil comes immediately to. So you know you got the thief coming to get it. You see what I'm saying? Usually that's why we get took. The thief usually beat us out of it. If he can't beat it out of you in your thinking, he make you turn on the television and let somebody beat you out of it on TV. But see, you got to turn all that away. I was listening to this guy. He said he was in Africa. He said, I see how come the Africans go so far. They don't have nothing but the word. He said, you go out in those villages, ain't no water, mosquitoes. You ain't got nothing but the word. So, you know, they just, they don't have all the distractions we have. And it's, he said, shoot, they get on the word. Look, they meet, they walk miles just to meet. You see, this is all good news to them. So we get out here and every distraction come along, we stop and look at it, you know. I tell you, y'all ever notice this here? A car can be fixing a flat on the interstate. Everybody stop and look at it. God, come on now. You know, I'm in my truck. I'm doing all but hit that horn. What is going on? And then after you get up to the flat and you look at that boy just all highway about a mile. He's a man. But distractions, what I'm saying. You know, and they tell you, don't rubberneck like that. Just keep your eyes straight ahead. If you glance over and keep going. But, you know, people stop and look. They know the name of the tire. You got the flat on. Just creep right by you on the interstate. You stop. And, you know, while I'm on that, you know they got this hand-free thing now. And that's a good thing. Because, you know, if you've been riding around, people got their phone and they eating or whatever they're doing. You know, they tend to kind of, you know, wiggle and sometimes slow down. It depends on how hot the conversation is. It depends. But that's a good thing. But, you know, somebody said, well, you go on the internet, they can't really do anything to you. Man, this is a good thing. Why are you fighting this? Who going to take a chance? I don't want to take a chance on getting a ticket because I got my cell phone over there. So I went and bought me these little things to go around my neck. cost they don't work worth nothing, but I got them anyway. Just keeping up with the law is something to help. But people just naturally negative. That's my point I was saying. People naturally do things that let things pull them away. You know, you're going down, you got your tape on, you know, or your CD, and you're going on down the interstate, and you see a wreck or a flat or something, keep listening to your CD and go ahead. Now you turn that off and look. And it's you where you're going before you think you're turning it back on. So, golly, I missed my whole sermon. Pull you. The devil comes to steal. You steal a word away. He uses all kind of little tricks. You just have to have a made-up mind. Said, no. Said, Holy Ghost, I want you to remind me of these things. I want you to remind me while I'm going that I'm to stay with the word. I want you to stay with that. And as you remind me, I'll just obey. Now, don't go talking back to the Holy Ghost when he talk to you. You know, just go on, do like you said. You know, a lot of people do. Yeah, they do. They'll hear the Spirit of God saying something, you know, and they'll tell you about it later on. I knew the Spirit of God was telling me not to do that. But, you know, I was just so far off in it, I kept on. You don't let him tell you quit eating something. Wow, golly. You mean, maybe, I said, maybe the next time I won't eat it. This is good to me this time, you know. Especially if it's your favorite dessert, you know. It tastes of it. Quit eating that. But it's just making a decision to follow after, to go head on. Now, the devil comes to rob you away from whatever it is that you're doing, all kind of distractions. So with us, we have to make decisions of quality and then cover ourselves. Now, when I say cover ourselves, you know, I always push this, that all of us should have a prayer partner. All of us should have a prayer partner, somebody you can pray with, somebody you can hook up with. We can keep each other. Now, I had prayer partners for years, you know, and they would call, let's pray. I need so-and-so. Let's do, and, you know, we were always, you know, helping one another, so to speak, because we keep each other in prayer. But the body of Christ need each other anyway. The Bible says we do. We all help each other. We need one another. So we can guard ourselves by coming together and protecting ourselves with each other, see? And by protecting ourselves with each other, we won't say and do things that is against the word of God, because we can protect ourselves with one another. We can cover ourselves, so to speak. So we need to be surrounded by each other. Now, back to the so-and-so in the word and the importance of it. It's so important that you and I see through what Jesus Christ wants us to see through and carry it out to the very end. See, he wants us to see how important it is to know that the word of God is the key to everything that's in the word of God. It's the key. It's the key. If we learn how the devil takes away the key and we learn how to operate the key, see, using one another, using discipline. Now, most people want to know, so, well, how do I know? I said that a minute ago. This is how we know. Because what he's telling us in the word of God, we know what we know. He's telling us. But now, God has covered us better than us just knowing that we know. He put the Holy Spirit in us. So he put the Holy Spirit in us to remind us, to teach us, to guide us, to lead us, to comfort us, to strengthen us. Now, how do I put him to work? That's a question never asked. How can I get help off the Holy Ghost? Most of the time, we just ask, which is a way. But don't nobody hear when we ask. See, how can I can ask him something, but I don't hear him. Now, over in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, 14th verse, says, but he that prayeth in an unknown tongue speaketh not to men, but to God. You see? Now, the God you're speaking to is the Holy Ghost in you. See, the Holy Spirit is God in you, the hope of glory. And you begin to speak to him, see? And now, it goes on to say something is unfruitful. What he's saying there? Oh, he got it on the board. I understand it's unfruitful. See? When you're talking to God in the spirit, your understanding is untruthful. If your understanding is untruthful, that means you don't understand what you're saying, and you're so used to living according to your mind, your mind will continually aggravate you to listen to it, because you understand it more than you do when you're doing what the Word of God tell you to do. You're talking to the Holy Ghost in other tongues and don't know what you're talking about. After a while, you'll wane off. You see, I don't want you to wane off. I want you to stay on it. So it take a practice to get that to that place. You just don't open up and go to praying and you're there already. You have to work at this. You see what I'm talking about? Life changing. You see what I'm talking about? A commitment to it. You got to continue to work at it. So now I'm working at praying in the Holy Ghost and not allowing my mind to be unfruitful to the place that it robs me. Because, see, if you know like I know, your mind take you everywhere you don't want to go. Because who got access to it? The devil. You all act like the devil ain't talking to y'all mind. He is. You might as well figure it out. That was him telling you to do them things you know. And they wasn't written. He's talking. But see, you pray in the spirit. You're not talking to man, you're talking to God. So when you're praying in the spirit, you're stirring up spiritual things inside of you. Now, because your mind is unfruitful, you ought to write that down, unfruitful mind. And you ought to say, whenever I'm praying, that mind is going to fight me. I already know that when I get ready to pray. Some people go pray, don't even think about it. And you know their mind tells them to do late. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. And they wake up an hour or two later. Whew. Man, I started off praying. I'm finna go to bed. I'm whooped. And I say, devil got you again. They say, go to sleep. You be talking to you real easy. You be cha 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 cha. After a while, just your mouth be moving. After a while, it stop. and now, you were praying in the spirit. You know what Jesus told a bunch down there? Y'all couldn't pray 1 hour with me. He was going to the cross. He couldn't pray 1 hour. He was all laid out. Same devil. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. He went out and touched them all. Go to sleep. And they all laid down there and slept. Now, if you've been around me and you my prayer groups and stuff, what I usually do is this. I tell people, you know, if you come to my prayer group, go on to sleep. Because I know how it is when you work every day and you sit down, you know, that flesh tired, boy, you go to praying, it really get tired. You just lay all over. Yeah, slob and do everything. You just, but that's okay, go on. And then when you wake up, go back to praying. But here is the key to it, see. You're stirring up spiritual things all the time because you're praying in the Holy Ghost. And your Bible said, my spirit is praying. I'm going to allow my spirit to pray. Because when I allow my spirit to pray, I'm automatically using my faith. You see? Because you can tell I'm using my faith because my mind don't want to go along with it. My mind is natural, see? He's so naturally trained, I don't have it renewed to the place that he knows it. So if you was in mind of my prayer groups, I always, after the prayer, I tell everybody, let's just stop and be quiet for a minute. See? Because you've been stirring up spiritual things while you're praying in tongues. And now the Spirit of God began to give it to your spirit. And if you be quiet long enough, the Bible says you can be still and know I'm God. And you be still. After a while, then you get something come up in your thinking. And you say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I prayed long enough to get it. I prayed that is right there. And it just come oozing right up to you. Come, but it's coming from the inside. It's not coming from the outside. See, fear is outside of you. Faith is inside of you. Fear always try to come in on you. That's how come you can feel it. When fear come on, you can feel it. Because it's a force, it's a spiritual force. It's Adam's faith perverted. And the devil got it, and he's trying to put that fear on you. But Jesus always said what? Fear not. Fear not. Don't let it come on you. You know what you mean? Know what he mean? You can stop it. Now, how are you going to stop it? With your mouth, God did not give me a spirit of fear, but power. Sing it to it if you have to, or you can talk to it. Fear, get away from me in the name of Jesus. Get away from me. I refuse. That's why Jesus told you to stop the fear. He told you to. He didn't never say he's going to stop it. You stop it. Don't you let it in on you, because it come to rob you. And when fear comes in, the devil can work. He work on fear just like God work on faith, you see. And when then if that fear come on you and you begin to talk to somebody spiritual, they can pick up on it. They say, oh, boy, he done got way over the fear. They think they finna die. They don't think God is real no more. They just, that devil, that devil come with that fear, boy. He change a whole lot of things on you. Because you see your body begin to respond to your body in the natural realm. It begin to respond to it. And as it respond to it, you see, you begin to respond to your body. And I'm going to tell you something. Your body and your mind will take you way places you never want to go. Boy, say, what's that place downtown they call down there where they put your straight jackets on? So he down there. So, well, he think he can fly now. He got to tie him up. Just, I'm going to say, if you let him go, he'll start running and flapping his wings. But the thing is, see, you don't want that to get in on you and begin to talk to you like that. I've seen people like that before. I have seen people. I mean, well, they demon-possessed, not all the time, you see. But they've been listening to the devil, and they go off and do something stupid, listening to the devil. And that's what he'll do. He'll come on you. It's a woman drowned 3 kids in the bathtub. She wasn't nearly about it. Her mind went on drowning those kids. But you know what? She let a spirit of fear come on her, and the devil told her to do it, and she did it. And she couldn't explain why she killed her 3 kids. She couldn't explain it. But you know the devil come in. She been around somebody who born again, know what they're talking about. They said, well, you let the devil in on you, what you did. And you listened to him, and when he told you, that fear come on you, and you killed all 3 of them. And she did. Killed all 3 of them. She don't have to bother about it now, because you know she went on to jail. I was bothered about it now. You say, you're going to act like that. We're going to put this stick on you and put you in the hole. You'll settle down. But, you know, that don't make sense, though. We born again people. And when we're born again people, we know these things. So we take authority over these things. And when we take authority over the things, we excel. Because we know the key. We got the keys to the kingdom. Amen. We got the key. Now, since we know what we know about the word of God and the seed of God, planting the seed of God, we know about praying in the spirit. We know how to stir up the Holy Spirit. We know that if we stir him up and just stir him up, we can just get quiet and listen and we can know. But I still don't know what God wants me to do. That's what most Christians tell me. Well, how can you find out what God wants you to do? Well, the scripture tells us, Psalms 37:4, you know, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, y'all probably know this better than I do, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Okay. Now, the desires that he's talking about is already in your heart. He wants to give those to you so you'll know what to do. See, because we already know when we get born again and the Spirit of God comes in our life, everything that God wants to do comes in that substance. Am I right? The love of God comes first, doesn't it? It comes, and everything, well, how y'all know it comes first? what is it? Love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. Romans 5:5. Okay. The love of God shed abroad. Okay. Now, Galatians 5:6 says, faith worketh by love. See, putting love the key element. So that's why we practice on love much as we do. Because I'm just absolutely, I'm talking about now, again, once again, those who was in the prayer group with me, years ago, we passed these scriptures out. Years ago, I'm talking about 35, 40 years ago. We passed these scriptures out. I don't think my wife typed them up or something. And we gave everybody 4-8, 1 Corinthians 13th chapter. We gave 4 through 8 for everybody to know those scriptures. I'm surprised that people don't know those scriptures. I'm absolutely surprised because of this fact. If we don't get that scripture or those scriptures first and foremost, we're not going anywhere. Nowhere. Nowhere. Because now, last week we talked about the character of God, didn't we? All of you all was here. We talked about God's character. And when we was talking about God's character, this came to play about the love of God. Has to be first and foremost. If somebody quoted, there you are, quoted 4 through 8. You had somebody quote 4 through 8. And they began to tell us about, you know, love, being patient and kind. And if not, you know. Now, she did another translation. Because she put one on. Because, you know, I thought you had missed some of it. So I got my Amplified out. I did them on the Amplified and the King James. So if you happen to do them today, I'll know if you're crooked or not. I know. If you got. And then, hell, I gave $50 on it. I had to give. Yeah, look at the hell. Hell just give away several dollars. I'm telling you guys right now. When you go to Hell's meeting, he ain't going to give you no $50. I gave $120. I gave $120 for the fruit. I gave $120 away for the fruit of the Spirit. You see. Now, but you can you see when you start talking about the love of God, you see the fruit that follow that? You see, patience is one of the fruits, right? And joy. All this. If you can't get love right, them first four, those others won't work. The joy of the Lord won't be your strength. You see, you be looking for joy, but you can't find it. Peace of God not working for you. You be upset. Look at your fingers. You won't have no fingernails. Good Lord, what happened to them? You worked them like a typewriter. Just cut them off. Yeah, well, boy, I've been upset. I don't know how that helped you out, but you grind all that. But you see, we have to have that foundation all the time saying to ourselves, I just don't take no account of evil done to me. I pay no attention to a suffering wrong. It's not easy. Not easy. And we can't do it without the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God not alive in us, working in us, we can't walk in that at all. You see, you can't turn the other cheek. You'll turn it all right. Go. I'm going to go get something, then I'm going to call the police. But I'll be back. That's the other cheek you'll turn. But now, you got to, if you can turn it, you can do it with the Spirit of God. You just can't do it, and you got to know the Word. You see? And when that anointing come on you from the Word of God, you walk away right away from it. And God rewards you greatly, just like he did Jesus. Rewarded him greatly. See, the Bible says, even after the church is gone, the things of Jesus is still alive. It said that name will never quit running, the name of Jesus. Throughout eternity, that name will still be red hot. You still can use that name. It's still the same thing. He was talking about in Philippians. Every knee must bow. Hallelujah. And every tongue must confess that Jesus is the Lord. Amen. To the glory of God the Father. I tell you, God was well pleased with that boy. He did well. He did well. But I'm telling you that if we don't work this like I'm telling you now and make that decision that I'm going to walk in love, I know what love will do. I know what love will do. It won't fail me. It won't. Now, I don't want to try because it's hard. But you have to make a decision. I don't care what it do, I'm going to try it. Start at home where it's really hard. That's my wife. It's hard for her to live with me and walk in love. and walk in love. She be on my case. You messed up that kitchen and didn't clean it up. Yeah. What do you mean? I mean, you waste coffee all over. That's all I ever fix, coffee. You waste coffee all over that counter and left it down. But you know, she had to walk in love with me. Take no account. take no. But you start practicing it at home and with your kids. you'll find out how much of it you know and how much of it you're walking in, how much of it you're willing to walk in. You know, you'll tell the Lord the same thing, just like the disciples told him when they gave up everything to follow him, you know. And he turned rich man around. He said, well, wow. So we gave up everything. And you say, he had more than we had. And he turned around. Rich young ruler had a lot going on. He said, you turn him around. We had a lot ourselves. But he said, you know, no man is giving into this gospel for the gospel's sake of my sake that he won't receive back in this life a hundredfold. That word will yield back to you just as sure as you plant that seed. You plant the seed of the word of God, it'll bear. Just like he said from the beginning, everything will bear of itself because the seed is in itself. That word that you plant, it'll yield right back to you. But you got to be willing to plant it. It has to be taught to you, and you have to continue to practice the planting of it to make it come to pass. Amen? It has to be practiced. Now, what I want us to do is, I want us to make some decisions ourselves. You know, just using our own selves as for examples, you know, like, you know, look back, you know, just so when, just say if you go through that 13th chapter and you go through, and as you go through them, you know, you ask yourself, you know, am I being jealous? You know, am I being enviable? You see, and what am I being? Do I, you know, I was telling you guys last week how they turned Jesus in. It was all based on envy. You couldn't see him, but it was based on him. You see, and when they got done with the envy, I always look at self. See, I always look. You know, you doing something that's gonna put me down, something that's gonna help me out. You know, what I can do to get over. That's what it amounts to. So when you weigh it out, you do what you can not to make that work. See, and they said, well, we're gonna have to kill this old boy right now because we don't see no other kind. We can't trap him. We can't trip him up. And everybody following him, we just going to knock him off. See? But the plan was to kill him and make everybody think the Romans did it. That was the plan. But we uncovered that. We uncovered that. Jesus already knew what the deal was. And he couldn't be killed unless the high priest offered him up. And Caiaphas did. He offered him up as a sacrifice, you see. And let Barabbas, let him out of jail. I mean, tell you, how many times we see that working right now in our society? We see people, you know, that's well-to-do and have a plenty, they walk free. Here's a boy can't pay his lawyer, he gets life. It's amazing. But the lawyer don't let him go till they get through draining. I was telling the guy that the other day, we was talking about the guy was doing pretty good selling drugs. He making pretty good money. And so I told him, I said, look, I said, the minute he get caught and go down there and get a lawyer, from then on he working for the system. Because he don't have a job. And when they go down, the lawyer going to charge him out the frame. If the lawyer tell him $20,000, that lawyer know how he going to get that money. He going right back to sell drugs. Now that make him selling for the lawyer now. And lawyer laying back under the air with the secretary up front, he out there hustling for the lawyer. Because the lawyer going to tell him, you bring me $5,000 a month, then we'll be in court so-and-so day. We'll see if we can get y'all. That lawyer know you're not working. He know he got to go out there. So the lawyer just as guilty as the man. He know when he sent him back. Instead of him just telling him, so, well, you caught, man, just go on to jail. You do what you know, you got to pay for your crime. But he gets paid first. You see, crooked system. Maybe it's working all the way around. We see it if we just look at it. And people say, you know, that justice system is expensive, yeah? Because they're living off the crime, too. So whatever guy do, if he's a house thief and he catch him now, they catch him thieving houses, that lawyer send him back out, and he going to get him out of jail and send him back out to make his money, and he's going to pay the lawyer. So, see, it's just a crooked system. Yeah, our time's just about going. I was going to give away some money today, but I'm going to just wait. I'm just going, well, I gave you guys enough, but here's what I want us to do. I want us to, we probably going to pull away from discipleship and go in another phase because there's so much to this that you know you can't. All I want us to do actually is to get the foundation, put it to work in our lives, Because if we can reproduce ourselves, you see, then we're doing what God said to do. That's what the Great Commission was. You go make disciples. Teach them what I taught you. See, that's what he told me. He said, now you go in all the world and do it. Don't just do it right here. Go in all the world and do it. So we're not going to make converts. We're going to make other disciples. It could be your own child. It could be your cousin. It could be a stranger, whoever it be. But I just want to disciple that person, telling them all I know. And when I begin to obey that scripture, the Spirit of God will come on me and give me more to give him. Both of us will grow. Because we obeying what the God, what the Word of God has told us to do. We're doing Matthew 28:20. We're doing Mark 16:15, on down through about 18. We're doing what the scripture said to do. But all those scriptures said, and God, or the Spirit of God, went with them. See, he went with them. So he'll go with you. We already know he's going to do works. He's going to do works. The biggest works that I've seen is out there witnessing to people, going out there telling them about the Lord Jesus and finding people who were sick and having needs and so on and pray for those people. I mean, God just move on them. I mean, you know, you don't have to be saved for God to heal people. You know, he believe in healing people. He likes to heal people. You know, that's what Paul told the Corinthian church, didn't he? Is that what Corinthian church he told? You know, how did you all get this? You know, signs and wonders came behind his preaching. See, signs and wonders came. Those people that didn't like that because of the fact that everybody was following him. Same thing with religious leaders in that same day. They want people to follow them. You know, if here's a guy come to town with a good news and he come down and he get all the crippled people to walk and the blind people seeing, and they say, whoa, we need to do something about this old boy here. He gonna carry all the money with him when he leave. See, that's what they'll say. So he's going to take it all. But he wasn't after the money. He said, I'm not after money. I'm preaching the gospel. But you see, the devil didn't want him preaching the gospel. So the devil used people. So when you find people that are listening to the devil, that's what they do. They have their own idea, they think. But they're working for the devil to go and stop what's being put out. But thank God we're in the United States where all that don't take place. All that. I was a Muslim guy. He said over there where he live in the country he live in, he said, preaching the truth, you really get persecuted. He said the Muslims throw bricks, talk bad, burn your house down. She's your boy. Yeah, the boy said, he need to come to the States, don't he? He won't get out. They won't even bother him over here. And then the people won't listen. But he in a country where people, you know, I mean, being persecuted cost them their lives to go over and preach the gospel. But you know what? They're willing to go. I tell you what, you're willing to go in them kind of circumstances. Your rewards are great. Because, you know, Jesus said, you bless you when you get persecuted like that. You're blessed. But now, you get persecuted, God send you out there like that, you can always get delivered. You can always get delivered. Now, we know that because the Bible proves it out through Apostle Paul. He continually got delivered. He just kept killing him. And he kept preaching. Till he finally said, I'm ready to be offered up, guys. I'm going to be offered up. I'm going to get my head cut off. I probably would have went on back home behind that number and said, hey. Well, you know, we getting strong. We getting strong out of a while. We'll put our head under the gallon. What do you call the thing? We'll put our head up under that while the blade is out and look up. We don't even want to look under there with the blade in there. Look, but willing to die for the gospel. Man, stand up, guys. Everybody stand up. You know, I keep on going if y'all let me. What we're going to do is we're going to come back next week. I'm going to pray about it, and I'm going to believe God. And we actually was talking this last. This tape will be titled The Fruits of, let's say, we'll make it the fruit of a disciple. Because we're going to have to bear fruit if we're going right. And the fruit that we're going to have to bear is in the Word. You know, you can't, the scripture says in Matthew Gospel that you judge a tree by the fruit it bear. See? That's how you judge a tree. So we're going to bear fruit, right? What happened when they don't bear fruit?
It talks on fire.
He said, yeah. Come on. Now, what did Jesus do to the fig tree? Cursed it. How come he cursed it? It didn't bear fruit. And what did the tree tell Jesus? The scripture says Jesus answered the tree. That's what Jesus told him. But in Israel, anytime the fig tree bear leaves, it's supposed to have figs on it. It had leaves but no figs. So Jesus answered it. He said, I want nobody else to get off. You won't fool nobody else. So he cursed it. And then from the root, it didn't have no figs. And when he went up to it, they having the figs. The Bible says he answered it. And they heard him when he answered it. And when they came back, they said, well, look, yeah, it wasn't no doing no good. No, he sent up the lion. So we got rid of that lion. Let's stop. Good Lord. Father God, we thank you. We honor you. We give you glory and praise. Father, I believe we said something today that would be a blessing to everyone in the building. I thank you that your word will not return to you void, but it will accomplish that which pleases you. I believe, Father God, that supernatural recall is working right now as we leave this place. Many are leave talking about the word. They're continuing to add to by the Spirit of the living God, the Word of the living God, and grow thereby. Now, ministering spirits, go make our way safe and prosperous. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Now, anybody want prayer for anything, I'll pray for you. Dr. Odie is there. We'll hold you up. We'll just lay hands on you. Amen. You want prayer. Let me turn my mic on.